Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car once again, this time leaving Gainbridge Fieldhouse in downtown Indianapolis. If that doesn't ring a bell, you probably know it as either Banker's Life or Conseco Fieldhouse. They've got to stop changing the name of these things, if for no other reason but for the sake of sports writers. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast following Purdue's 77-48 win at the Crossroads Classic. It is brought to you by our friends at Fallsbury Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, and Ripple & Company, and the Whitaker Inn, which I will not be driving past today because I'm headed to Cecina High School in Indianapolis to go watch Purdue commitment Miles Colvin play. So I'm stopped off here in the meantime doing this podcast. Purdue gave us a lot to talk about today, obviously sending the Crossroads Classic out in a manner that they did not enter the Crossroads Classic in. You'll remember it was not that long ago that Purdue simply could not win at this event. And the event now ends with Purdue having won a couple times here the last few years and never more emphatically than they did today. 77-48, once again, over Butler. Butler was shorthanded. Obviously, that plays into things a little bit, but I don't think with the way Purdue played, I don't know if any one player or any three players or anything like that would have made all that much difference. I think this was a big day for Purdue. I think this was a potential springboard opportunity for Purdue. Obviously, they came back from New York and New Jersey, in a situation where a team could come back from that sort of thing shook. You know, they lost at Rutgers on a heartbreaker, but out of a position they put themselves in by not playing very well, and then they just barely escaped with a win to show for that trip by surging past NC State in the second half and winning in overtime. Purdue did not play well in either of those two games, and, you know, they did not look like the number one team in the country. They did not look like a top 10 team in the country, to be honest with you, except for the last probably 10-plus minutes of that NC State game when you count the overtime. I think it was important for Purdue just to play well today, just to have some success, just to remind themselves of how good they are in some way, shape, or form. And I think you saw that offensively. I think, you know, Purdue shot the ball really well. They shot 50% from three in this game. I don't think that was ever an issue. I think what happened out east was simply the natural ebbs and flows of college basketball, where you're not going to make every shot. You're going to have good games and bad games, and just hope for more good games and bad games. But I think offensively, you know, Purdue looked more today like they did in games 1-7 than they did the last two games, reminded everybody just how good they are offensively, how elite they can be at that end of the floor. But the bigger part of this was that this was probably the best defensive performance of the season for Purdue against a credible opponent. I don't mean what they did against, like, Indiana State, or I shouldn't talk about Indiana State that way. That's at least a credible program. Against a high major program. This was a really, really good, sound, effective defensive performance by Purdue. This was the most connected they've been defensively. This was the most attentive to detail I think they've been. And this was just the best all-around defensive game I think they've played. And they needed to, because I've kind of wondered here the last couple of games if that was headed in the right direction. Because they weren't very good out east from a defensive perspective. They looked vulnerable there in the second half against Iowa. I can't remember the details of the Florida State game all that well, other than me thinking, oh, hey, they didn't play very well tonight, and they still won by 28 points, whatever it was. I just think it was really important for Purdue to show they're capable of making that step from a defensive perspective. And I think this performance against Butler was highly suggestive of a team that came back with some self-awareness, with some reflection about it, and understood, hey, this is what we have to do to be the team we want to be here. They really dialed in on their preparation, all of that stuff. They played together. They were disciplined, all of that stuff. And look what happened. They held Butler to 48 points. Butler shot 26% in the first half, which basically decided the game. Butler went scoreless for 6.5 minutes. During one stretch in the first half, and that was essentially when the game was put away. So for Purdue to do that and get rewarded for it in the way they were rewarded for it today, I think was a really big deal. And as I said before in my video that I posted, I think if Purdue can make this their standard, I'm not saying you hold every opponent from here on out to 26% first half shooting or 48 points total, but if you just make it your standard before every game to play like this, to harness everything you did right today and continue to kind of get better within that framework, I think that, you know, all things are possible for Purdue here this season. I think, you know, Big Ten championships are on the table. I think, you know, that extended NCAA tournament run that everybody wants, I think, is very much on the table, because Purdue's not going to do those things unless they're a good defensive team. I don't mean an okay defensive team. I don't mean a team that just plays enough defense to outscore people. I mean a legitimately good defensive team. And I thought today, albeit against a shorthanded Butler team, I think Purdue looked like a legitimately good defensive team. So if they can make this their standard from here on out for themselves, I think that would be a really step in the right direction. A really big step in the right direction for Purdue to try to make this the season that they all want this season to be. I think that both your big guys today were really good. I think the move of Zach Edey to come off the bench, I think, was kind of a no-brainer. I think whether he'd admit it or not, I think it probably takes a little bit of pressure off him to start games. I think it allows him to maybe ease into things a little bit better to benefit from Travion Williams kicking those guys' heads in for 4 minutes before Zach Edey comes in the game. I think that was a positive move for Purdue, as much as Purdue probably valued continuity with that first unit. I think that was a no-brainer of a move. And I think both Travion Williams and he were both very good today. Travion Williams' minutes were held back by fouls, but between the two of them, you got your standard 25 and 15 or whatever the numbers ended up being. Both of those guys were really good. As I said before, Purdue shot the ball really well today. That had a lot to do with Jaden Ivey, who was 6-for-6 from 3-point range. Kind of one of those, Michael Jordan against the Trailblazers games, where everything he was putting up was going in. Just a really nice performance by Jaden Ivey, who was really good in this game outside of just shooting well. Obviously, we've talked over and over again about how good he is, how special he is, and how much of a difference he makes for this Purdue team. And it was all there on full display today. Butler tried zoning Purdue. That I'd never advise anyone to zone Purdue, because they've been roasting it for years on end. They have the personnel to do it, all of that stuff. And but I kind of wondered how Jaden Ivey, when he finally got zoned, how he'd adjust to that. He did great. He played really well against the zone from what I could tell live. And Purdue just played really well offensively. They took care of the basketball. They made shots. They got the right shots. They took the right shots. And they just played a great all-around game. And I think this is exactly what Purdue needed after those two games out east that, you know, made Purdue look really vulnerable. Today they looked the exact opposite. And just a really big win for Purdue. I think that could be a springboard into the resumption of Big Ten play here. Probably got some of the doubt that might have crept in against Rutgers and North Carolina State, if there was any. Probably got that out of your system a little bit. You flexed your muscles a little bit. Probably got some confidence back if you needed to. And just a really good all-around performance by Purdue. A nice way to send out the Crossroads Classic, which I know Purdue is not thrilled to see coming to an end. But what's that line in Game of Thrones? What is dead shall never die, something like that. Am I getting that right from the Iron Islands, whatever they're called? Anyway, I'm completely rambling at this point. So that's our Golden Black Radio Express postgame podcast. This has turned into the Chris Farley Show. I don't know how to end these things. 77-48, Purdue over Butler. This has been, again, your Golden Black Radio Express postgame podcast. It is brought to you by Fox Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, and Ripple & Company, and the Whitaker Inn. I will talk to you again Monday after Purdue plays Incarnate Word. Should be a thriller. Thanks, everybody.